doing? Can you hear me? A little bit? Can you hear me all right? No? Right, you need to turn me up so Dave can hear, or somebody can arrange for Dave to move forward. No? That would be the obvious solution, Dave. So it's great. It's a total privilege to be here sharing with you guys this morning. If you're visiting with us and it's your first time here today, don't worry. I think I'm at the bottom of the speaking pile because everybody's away. So if you come back next week, somebody better will be speaking. So don't base white inch. No. I don't want a sympathy vote. Don't want a sympathy vote. I just don't want to scare anybody away. So we're back to Proverbs, and I think we're on part five. Ben did a sneaky thing last week where apparently if you create the teaching rota, you can just deviate from it. So Ben did that whole thing last week, which is great for him. But we're back onto Proverbs this week, and we're on part five of our Proverbs series. And I thought we'd have a wee look at integrity today. So I thought we'd have a look at what Proverbs says about integrity, but actually what integrity is, how it applies to our life, and actually why it's necessary for us to have integrity in our lives. So if you put on the next slide, but don't go too far because then you'll give all the answers away. Does anybody want to have a wee guess just to shout out if they think they know what integrity means or what integrity is about? Feel free to shout out. Being truthful, great, superb. Don't know. Yeah, perfect, great, superb. I didn't really have a great understanding of what it meant before this week. Obedience, oh, brilliant, superb. Yeah, cool. So understanding, great. Duncan? What people see is who you really are. Great, amazing. If we could have up some of the next things. As I kind of researched what integrity means, here are some of the things that came up. So, moral principles, honesty, being whole, being in a perfect condition, having honour. And I think these were kind of some of the things that came up. But I think integrity is one of these fundamental pillars of our character. Okay, so we have lots of different things that make us who we are. And I think integrity is one of these key things. We have lots of different pillars that hold us up in our character and who we are. And I think integrity is one of those things. I was away yesterday. I was away whitewater rafting for Donald's stag do. It was exciting. Donald and Karina are getting married in a couple of weeks, which is super exciting. And yeah, great. Good job. Good on you. Well done. You're getting married. You've done it. You've not done it. You're getting there. I was thinking, I've been thinking this week what integrity means, and you sometimes hear it, any kind of like structural engineers or people like that in here today? Yeah, great. So we've maybe heard it in terms of integrity of a structure, integrity of a thing, and I was thinking about it, of that boat yesterday. If that boat didn't have integrity, what would happen to the people on it? Yeah, they'd sink, wouldn't they? They'd go down. Would the boat be able to fulfill its purpose? Would it be able to do what it's supposed to do? No, it wouldn't. So I thought about actually, what does it mean if we don't have integrity? And I think if we don't have integrity, then I think what it does is it harbours us from being able to walk fully in the purpose that God's called us to. When we don't have one of these foundational things sorted in our life, it holds us back from being able to serve the purpose that God's placed us here on earth for. And I learned this lesson the hard way recently. Let's see the next picture that comes up. Does anybody know what that is? Or can take a guess at what they think it might be? Yeah, great as well. Flower beds, yep, kind of. And they want to go more specific than a flower bed. Potting bench, you're an expert, Dave McKay. No, I don't think it's an expert. Yeah. Yep, it is some kind of plants. It's very specific. Herbs, yeah, good job, we got there. So this is a homemade herb planter made by these beautiful hands, along with my dad. So I helped my dad make a herb planter a couple of weeks ago, and I've got to confess now that this is version 2 that you're seeing up on the screen. This is not the original herb planter that was built. The police have got evidence. I honestly don't think it would even have been worthy of being in an evidence pile. So this is version 2. Version 1 looked very similar to version two. It was brilliant. We were so chuffed. We spent a couple of hours. My dad had bought this new nail gun. We thought, right, we'll try it out. What can we make? So we made a hair planter. It was looking so good. It was looking so good. And we finished it. We put all the earth in it, moved where it was going to go. My dad planted all his herbs. And then the next day we come in. Can you put on the next slide? This isn't the real picture, but it looked something like this. And what had happened was, in hindsight, and we knew we were doing it at the time, but in hindsight, we did not make sure that the thing was solid. So we didn't make sure that the thing was secure. And what had happened was, for anybody who's really interested in what the issue was that we nailed bits of wood underneath, and then all the earth sat in the wood. And then what happened was, it's stupid. How can you not see that when you're making it? Very stupid. But that's what happened, is that the next day, the bottom had fallen out of this hair planter. And there's now, can we go back to the picture? I don't know whether you can see underneath. I think there's rocket growing underneath because of where it all fell down. So we'd cut corners, and we knew that we probably should have spent a bit more time in it. And in hindsight, we could see what the issue was. And that was one of those things about the foundation. Okay, so one of the foundations where all the weight was going to be placed on wasn't solid enough. And I think that leads us back to this whole thing of integrity. It's one of those foundational things that unless it's fully sorted and unless we're taking steps to make sure that our integrity is there, then actually, just like the herb planter, it couldn't fulfill its potential. I'm not going to say that we're going to fall apart and end up in a pile of nonsense in the floor, but that herb planter could not be a herb planter unless that foundation was sorted. It is all good in the end, just so you're happy. We had some rocket from it the other day and a nice salad. It was good, and it now serves its purpose, which is good. Let's have a look at the next slide. So if you look through Proverbs, there's lots of different examples of where it talks about integrity. And if you just put them all up, you'll notice that I've used different kind of translations. And that was just to keep that word integrity kind of solid throughout, so you can see that it's talking about that. So Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Proverbs 10:9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Proverbs 2:7, he who grants a treasure of common sense to the honest, he grants a treasure of common sense to the honest, he is a shield to those who walk with integrity. Proverbs 2:20-21, so follow the steps of the good and stay on the paths of the righteous, for only the godly will live in the land and those with integrity will remain in it. Proverbs 28:6, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity. Oh, that one's not red. That's a shame. Better is a poor man who walks in integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. And Proverbs 28:18, whoever walks in integrity will be delivered, but he who is crooked in his ways will suddenly fall. So you can see that it was one of these key issues. Obviously important enough for Solomon to be able to make so many mentions of. And I think you could actually troll through Proverbs and find some more that I've not actually found on there yet. But I think here, as we read about these examples of integrity, Solomon talks about it as almost, we've talked about wisdom. You know, Dave was talking about wisdom a couple of weeks ago. Alan spoke about wisdom through Proverbs. But I think integrity is one of these almost vehicles of how we play out the wisdom that God's given us. Actually, what do we do with the wisdom that God gives us? And integrity is one of these things that we need to be able to play out that wisdom. And I think for too long we've seen people who call themselves Christians. We've seen churches who actually who profess the things they believe in, but actually don't do what they say they're going to do. So they say one thing and they do another thing. And actually, that hypocrisy, I think, has turned so many people away from church. And I think it's a hypocrisy that needs to go, so that actually people can see the integrity of the believers of Christ. Because Jesus showed us a better way. He showed us a better way of doing it. He showed us what it was like to live with integrity. And we see other examples of it through the Bible. We see Job, and we see him struggling in turmoil with actually, what does it look to hold your integrity when everything round about you falls apart? So we have examples throughout the Bible of actually what it looks like, not only Proverbs on what we do and how we do it, but actually examples of what it looked like. Jesus, the perfect example of integrity, but Job, the person who actually had everything fall about round about him and actually still hold his integrity and what that looks like as well. I think there's three areas of integrity. If we go on to the next slide, I think there's three areas that we can draw out for integrity in our lives. And I think the three areas are in our thoughts, our actions, and our words. And I think these are three areas that integrity affects or it doesn't affect. If we have it, then it affects these areas. If we don't have it, then it affects these areas in different ways. And I think it affects our thoughts in terms of how we think about situations, how we think about people, places, leaders, church, our community. It affects all those areas. I think our actions, integrity affects the way we act in front of other people, or the way we act when no one's looking, or the way we act in everyday life, or the way we act in work, or the way we act in home, or the decisions they make. And are those things all consistent, or are they separate? Are they in little boxes where we act in different ways in these different places? And I think it affects our words as well. And what does it affects our words in terms of what do we say about people when they're there? What do we say about people when they're not there? How do we talk about situations? How do we talk about people of influence? How do we talk to other people about these things? And I want to have a wee look at those three areas with you today. So I want to look at thoughts first. And Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is." For as we think within ourselves, so we are. That's who we are. As we think in ourselves, that's what plays out in our life, positively or negatively, whether that's a positive outlook in life or a negative outlook in life, whether it's building people up or tearing people down. Whatever we think is how we are. And our thoughts are the kind of first port of call, because actually our thoughts begin to influence our actions and influence our words. The way we think is who we are. So when we start to kind of change our thinking, or the way that we think actually outplays in the way we act. And it was Mahatma Gandhi, I love a good Gandhi quote, he said, to believe in something and not to live it is dishonest. To believe in something, to think something and not to live that out is dishonest. Dishonest to yourself and dishonest to the people around about us. And I think our thoughts, the integrity of our thoughts come from, Anna, can you just jump on a couple of bits? I think the integrity of our thoughts comes from the certainty of our identity. And I think that's where we start to gain integrity of our thoughts, is when actually we begin to change our thinking to operate out of a place where we know that we're loved, where we know that we're accepted by God, we're accepted into his family, and to know that we're co-heirs with Christ. And I think as soon as we start to adopt that mindset and operate out of that place, is actually then the jealousy or the impurity or the negativity that was influencing our thoughts before actually starts to wash away as we become more and more secure in our identity. The thoughts that once was, you know, that past life that we did life, actually, the new life that Jesus bought for us allows us to know the certainty of our identity and to walk out of that place. And it's not an overnight thing. It's not a right, we'll pray the prayer and that's it. That's me. My mind's changed. I think it's something that we've got to work at, and it's something when you speak about when you speak on a topic or you speak on a subject, I think there's always testing of actually, are you going to stand up there and say things that you're not living out? And integrity is a journey for me. And integrity of thoughts has been a journey. For me over the past wee while, is actually what I think about people, what I think about things, and starting to kind of ask God to change my mindset on things and to help me work towards a better way of thinking. So I think our thoughts lead into our actions. I think that's one of the consequences of actually, you know, that proverb, I love it, for as we think, so we are. And so the integrity of our actions is also really important. And I want you to have a wee think about what we're known for. What are some of the things that we're known for? Is it our job? Is it the way we look? Is it our role in church? Is it how much money we have? Is it our conduct? Is it our character? Are we known for our character? Proverbs 20:11 says, even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure and whether it is right. I think that's one of the one of the keys of understanding who we are, and for people round about us to understand who we are, is are we known by our character? And one of those, I think I said it earlier, one of the biggest visual representations of our character is the way we act. It's our actions. It's how we act in front of people, how we act when people aren't there, how we act in our daily lives, how we act at work, how we act at home with our family, how we act during worship, how we act during meetings, how we act in public, and how we act in secret. And this public versus private thing is, I think, one of the important places where we maybe get integrity wrong, where I've got integrity wrong, and I think we lose our integrity when no one's looking. And I think that's one of the biggest things that needs to change. I want to tell you this story. It's an American story. So you need to bear with the dollars and the American colloquialisms. But several years ago in Long Beach, California, a fellow went into a fried chicken place, I think similar to KFC, and he bought a couple of chicken dinners. I think that's like a chicken bucket, for himself and his date late one afternoon. And the young woman at the counter, she was getting everything together, getting a wee bit flustered, and instead of giving him his two chicken dinners, she gave him the bag of profits from the day, and she gave him all the money which that chicken place had made in the day. And after driving, so they picked it up, it was obviously a kind of similar weight to the chicken, picked it up and went in their car and drove to the picnic site where they were going to eat it. And as they opened the bag to see what their nice chicken dinner was going to look like, as they opened the bag, they seen all this money. And they're like, oh man, what are we going to do? So the guy straight away closed up the bag and says, we're going back, we're taking this back. So closed up the bag and got back in the car and drove back to the chicken place. And he got into the shop, and by this point the manager was absolutely freaking out, going wild, like they've just lost, I don't know, $1,000 worth of profits from the day. And he was absolutely freaking out, and this guy walks in with his bag and he says, I want you to know, I came by to buy a couple of chicken dinners, and then instead of getting my chicken dinners, I got this money here. And the manager was jumping about with joy, absolutely thrilled. What he thought he'd lost, he'd now got. And he says, this is brilliant, this is so good, you're the most honest man I've ever met, you're absolutely incredible. I'm going to call the local newspaper, and he's going to come down here, we're going to write a story about you, we're going to get your pictures, and we're going to get a picture of you and your partner all over, you and your wife all over the newspapers. And he said, no, don't do that. He's like, why not? He said, people get you known, this, everybody will know about your story. And he said, no, don't do that. And he leans over to the guy and he whispers and he says, see that woman? She's not my wife. She's somebody else's wife. And so there was this whole tension of actually what he'd done was a real honest thing in public, but actually he was about to get found out for the private thing that he thought he was doing. And this is the tension that we live in our everyday life, is actually what do we do when people are looking? What do we do when people aren't looking? And integrity comes in our life when our actions are the same when people are watching than they are when people aren't watching. It's the exact same. That's when we start to know we've got integrity in our life. And I wonder how many people would decide to follow Jesus if they waited to see the impact that it had in our life. I wonder if there was people waiting to see what kind of impact Jesus was having on their life. I wonder how many people would come to faith. And I've been wondering that question for a while. What do the people in my work, what do they know about me? What do they see about me? What do they see my actions as being? And would they ever come to faith if they were waiting to see what difference Jesus was making to my life? So that's our integrity of actions. And the last thing is our integrity of words. I want to read Ephesians 4, 14 to 16 for you. And you can read it with me if you've got good eyesight. It says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Has anybody ever heard those lies that are so cleverly thought out that they sound like the truth? Anybody ever told somebody, anybody ever had those lies told to them? I have. have been tricked by those lies, usually by those people on the phone that try to sell you something. That's usually where you hear those kind of lies, the lies that are so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of this body, his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. This speaks something of the transformation that occurs when we become followers of Christ, is that actually we no longer need to live in that immaturity. We no longer need to live in that place where we're tossed about and blown by different teachings. There's no longer a need for that, because actually we're transformed into a place where that we can be certain of our identity, and that we're called to speak the truth in love. We're called to speak the truth of our words in love to the people in this church, the people sitting next to you here, but to the people out there as well. That's the calling that's placed on us, is to speak the truth in love. And it's a call to... it's interesting when I've been thinking about integrity, I've been thinking about as a me thing, as an us, as individuals, but actually here we see that the call to integrity, to speak the truth in love, for integrity in our words, is a call to build up the church. And it's not a call just for us to change the way we live, it's a call to us to build up the church, to build each other up, speaking truth in love, and making us all work together as the one body. And I was thinking, what do we say to ourselves? What do we say to other people? Is it things that build us up? Is it things that build the people up? Or is it things that tear people down? Or is it things that make people feel bad about things? Do we speak the truth over ourselves? Do we speak the truth of our identity over ourselves? Or do we actually believe the lies that people have said maybe about us? You can't do that. You're not clever enough. You're too stupid. You don't look like them. You don't fit in. Are we starting to believe some of those lies that are affecting our words? And I've came across people, and I've probably been there as well, is that actually as soon as you start to believe some of those things of not fitting in and not working, is that actually it starts to influence the way you speak about other people, because you then adopt that mindset that those people have had, that they've been speaking to you. You adopt the mindset that says, oh, if I don't fit in, well, you don't fit in. Or if I'm too stupid, then he's definitely too stupid. And we start to adopt the mindset of the lies that we're believing. And I think we need to understand. I've heard this so many times, read this so many times. We need to begin to understand the power of our words. In Proverbs 18:21, another great proverb, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Our tongues have the power to bring life to people. But the flip side of that is that our tongues have the power to bring death as well. They have the power of death to actually bring people down and send people backwards and shoot people down. And we need to understand the power that we have in building people up. And I think as we start to strive towards building integrity in our life, I think that it can't help but influence our words. I think as we build integrity in our lives, it can't help but influence the things that we say to the people around about us and the things that we say to ourselves. And there's almost a kind of matching up of the things that we say we're going to do and the actions of doing them. I think that's one other kind of key area, is actually when we say we're going to do something and not do it, it shows that we don't yet have integrity. But actually when we can say that we're going to do something and follow through on it, then that's one of those character recognitions of integrity. And we look at Jesus again, and we think, did Jesus ever say that he was going to do something and not do it? Did Jesus ever say, oh, I'm going to do this, and then thought, but I'm too tired today, or but I've done it loads recently? You know, he didn't, and that's not the guy that we've seen. That's not the example we have of Jesus saying that. And that's the kind of three areas that I think integrity influences in our life. And as I was having a wee look about, I think David gave us a wee nice how-to guide in Psalms. So if we look at Psalm 15, it says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slaughter on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. And I think for me, as I was starting to have a think about actually how do I start to be a man of integrity, there's a really obvious kind of starting point here in Psalms to actually think, okay, let's give this a shot. Let's try out some of the things that it says, because the way that we live our lives not only matters now, but it matters for eternity as well. There's one day where we're gonna all have to stand before the judge at the end of time. And Romans 14 says we're going to have to give an account of ourselves to God. And so the way that we live our life matters now, but it matters for eternity when we stand before God and say and give an account for what we've did with our lives. And it's one of these things that actually it's the foundational things that we need to get right. It's one of the foundational things that I need to get right. It's one of the foundational things. Heartbeat. It's like a tense moment. I'm waiting for the big build up. It's not getting there. But it's one. No, I think we're all right. We've done it. Solved it. So integrity is one of these foundational things that we need to get right for eternity when we stand before God and give an account of our lives. But for now, to be able to live out the fullness of the calling that God's placed on our life. And it's not an easy choice. It's not an easy choice, but I think it's an everyday choice that we need to make, an everyday choice to choose to walk in integrity. And the next slide, I think, just sums up, actually, where we're kind of getting to with this is that when our... Oh, it's giving it away. This is sneaky, this PowerPoint. Look at that, you've got the answer before we get there. So what do you think the three things are going to be? What do you think the three circles are going to be? You've been listening, you're good. So. Say that again. Yeah, it's becoming, we have a call to become more Christ-like, and that's how we strive to live our life, is to be more like Christ. And as we start to kind of think about the way that we think and act and talk, is that we become more like Christ, and that's the call that's placed in our life. Are they maybe going to come up? They're not even there. Right, fill in the blanks. It's a quiz. It's not a finishing point. It's a quiz. So when our thoughts and actions and words, that's the three circles, when our thoughts, actions, and words all come together, this bit in the middle where they all overlap, and what we're thinking is the way that we act, and the way that we act is the things that we're saying, and the things that we're saying is the way that we act, and the things that we think means that the things that we're saying, they all start to play out, I'm confusing myself, but they all start to play into each other, where we have this bit where they all meet, and it's all the same thing, and that's where integrity happens, when our thoughts, actions, and words all become the same thing. And I want to just leave you with this, Pinterest, anyone on Pinterest? It's a beautiful thing. One of these beautiful quotes that integrity is choosing courage over comfort, choosing what is right over what is fun, fast, or easy, and choosing to practice our values rather than simply professing them. And I want to ask us, including me here, you know, what if our behavior matched our beliefs? What if our walk matched our talk? What if our character matched our confession? What if what we claim to believe on Sunday was practiced on Monday? What would people see? Yeah. What would they see in us? They'd see a change. What would they see in us? And the Pharisees, as we read in Matthew, the Pharisees said, Teacher, we know you're a man of integrity. These were people who didn't like Jesus, who were out to get him, but they knew that he was a man of integrity. And my question is, do people see us as people of integrity? The people who are out to get us, or the people who are on board with us, do they see us as a people of integrity? Does God see us as a people of integrity? So I want to just pray with us together to ask Jesus. You know, we can't do this on our own. We can't do this in our own strength, because we always slip back into those old ways of thinking. But I just want to pray with us all together to ask Jesus to come and change our mind and to start to do a work that only he can do. So God, will you come? God, will you come and will you fill us afresh with you? God, we know we get it wrong sometimes. We know we get it wrong a lot of the times, God. But will you come and will you start to change our mind, God? Will you help to mold us to be more like Christ? Will you help to walk, help us to walk more in a place of righteousness? God, will you help our behavior to match our belief? Will you help our character to match what we confess, God? God, will you help our walk become our talk and our talk become our walk? God, we need you. We know that we can't do it on our own. We know that we can't work these things out on our own, God. But will you come? And thank you that you give us grace through the process, God. Thank you that you give us grace through the process. Jesus, will you help us be a people of integrity? God, will we be individuals marked by integrity? When people look at us, will one of the five words to describe us be integrity? God, when people look at us as a church here in White Inch, will we be known for our integrity? God, we don't want to be known for hypocrisy. We don't want hypocrisy in the church anymore, God. Will you help us take a step towards integrity? God, will you hold our hand through the journey? In Jesus' name, amen.